Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, Foo followers. Ben Johnson here, the host of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, reminding you that if you would like to support this show, we have a donations link available. Any spare pennies you may have would be greatly received to help with the upkeep of this show, the website, the social media accounts, and so on. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate whatever you can. And a huge thank you to any listeners who have supported us over the years. You have our gratitude. Okay, thank you, and on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Foo followers around the world. Welcome to episode 90 of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. This is season 7 and my name is Ben Johnson. I am speaking to you from London here in the UK. Welcome to the show. Eric Lee is my guest on today's episode. Eric is known as the King of Kata. He is the winner of over 100 world titles. He was undefeated forms and weapons champion from 1970 to 1974. But as you will discover, he's also a bit of a jack of all trades. A martial artist, a teacher, an author, an actor, a painter, a singer. He's generally an all-round entertainer. He was one of the first people to introduce music and lighting and acting and sound effects into his forms work, which garnered him quite a reputation in the martial arts world. As an actor and a stunt performer, his film credits include Big Trouble in Little China. You may have heard of that movie. The Ring of Fire films with Don Wilson, Talons of the Eagle with Billy Blanks, Sworn to Justice and the Tiger Claws movies, both with Cynthia Rothrock, Showdown in Little Tokyo, Fists of Iron, Bloodsport 2. There's so many American straight-to-video action movies from the 90s that Eric Lee was involved in, basically the types of movies that I watched all the time growing up. Eric is also the author of many instructional martial arts books, and he has a new book out. It's an autobiography, and it's called The Journey of an Artist by Grandmaster Eric Lee. I'll be sure to put a link to where you can buy the book in the podcast description. I always enjoyed watching Eric crop up in many martial arts movies growing up. He is in his mid-70s now, living an activity-filled life out in sunny Los Angeles. So this was great to be able to have this conversation with him, and that chat is coming up shortly on today's show. A quick bit of business, though, before we head over to my conversation with Eric. If you do listen to this show on Spotify, then I've noticed there is an additional element of interaction that has appeared on that platform. I saw a message come in on Spotify following the Stunt Women episode with April Wright and Alima Dorsey. Really good to see that. So please do feel free to comment on the shows if you use Spotify. You can also give the show a star rating on Spotify. You can do that on Apple Podcasts as well and any of the other platforms that you do use to listen to this podcast. Leaving star ratings and reviews is a great way to show your appreciation for the show, but it also really helps to get the podcast noticed by other Kung Fu movie fans out there. So thank you so much if you have done that already. Of course, if you want a more direct route to contact me, then you can always send me an email. The email address is hello@kungfumovieguide.com. We are on social media as well. So we've got the Twitter account @KFMovieGuide. And we are on Instagram and Facebook as well @KungFuMovieGuide. And for all the latest martial arts movie reviews, head over to KungFuMovieGuide.com. I've been playing a little bit of catch-up lately on the movie front, and I did absolutely love John Wick Chapter 4. I'm sure you've all watched it by now. And the more I think about it, the more I think it might be the best one in the series. Don't know if that's a controversial thought. Would love to know what you guys thought of it. And it was an absolute treat to be invited to the UK premiere of Jackie Chan's new film. That's called Ride On. The screening took place on Jackie's 69th birthday on the 7th of April. There was a lovely message from Jackie at the start of the movie dedicated to his UK fans. And I also got the opportunity to sign his birthday card. Plus, I got to catch up with some good friends and former guests as well of this podcast. So it was a lovely day. Thank you so much to all the folks there at Cine Asia here in the UK for putting on that event and for inviting me along. Okay, that's more than enough from me. It's time to hear now from Eric Lee. This conversation was recorded a while ago, back in September 2022. It's a little bit disjointed. We certainly jump around quite a bit during this conversation. And I think when you're chatting with Eric Lee, it's just a case of strapping in and going with the flow. I will be back at the end of this conversation to sign off properly. But until then, here we go. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my slightly chaotic conversation with the great King of Kata himself, Eric Lee.
You heard my music, yeah?
I've heard the music. You've got a new book out. There's lots to talk about, Eric. So that's a real passion of yours then, is it, Eric, the singing?
One of my passion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a list. Actor, writer, painting.
I like everything.
Yeah, musician. You play musical instruments as well?
Yeah, I have 36 instruments. I play some, but I go to GM Eric Lee on YouTube and you can hear it. Yeah. If you like it, tell all your friends. You don't like it, tell all your friends Eric Lee sucks. He cannot sing.
I want to ask about the book. It is called The Journey of an Artist by Grandmaster Eric Lee. Your life story, Eric.
Can you bring my book? Okay, yeah. From Amazon, called A Journey of an Artist.
Yeah.
And somebody is interested. Somebody is writing a synopsis, and I have people I like to make that into the film, but I won't be playing the part. You know, I'm too old to be young again. So somebody will play a part. I think somebody possible on my wish list would be somebody younger than me, like Donnie Yen, which is staying my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you met Donnie Yen?
He stayed in my house.
Donnie Yen stayed in your house?
When he was younger, before he went to Hong Kong. And I know his mom bows him up.
Yeah.
And then I used to be a promoter with my friend Sid Campbell. We promote lots of tournaments. We promote maybe 15 tournaments, and then we promote luaus, you know, the Hawaiian feast party. And one of the big ones, I don't do that anymore, 1980 in Oakland Coliseum, we got 14,000 people show up.
Wow.
It was Shaquin from Into the Dragon and Bosin Mark. I believe possible Jet Li was there too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He was Beijing Wushu team was there. And then Master Hong from Into the Dragon, he actually didn't speak. Ladies and gentlemen, let the tournament begin. That was Master Po Ki Luk of Kung Fu Siri.
Yeah, did the voice, you mean? Did Shaq Keane's voice?
He had great voice, and actually I did a film with him together. It's called A Cold King and Blue Eye. I was his right-hand man.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Do you mind me saying you're, by my calculations, you're 74 at the moment, Eric? Is that correct?
Right now I'm 76.
76? Gosh, okay. Yep. And how do you feel, 76, do you still feel you're ready to go, you're still active and fit and everything?
How you feel is how your mind works and how your body works.
Yeah.
So I feel young. I'm 30 years younger than any average people because I work out.
I have great diet, and I swim 10 laps a day. And when I swim, I do slow motion like Tai Chi.
Yep.
And then, so I'm very slow, but I do like 10 laps. When I get on, I have a room that is dedicated to the equipment. I have my own gym at home.
Great.
And then I have a room dedicated to music only for recording. Yeah. And then when I do the elliptical, I sing and I work on my body and I do that. Sometimes I sing, sometimes I do the, what they call this, healing songs.
Yeah.
So as you know, songs have vibration. If you're in tune with a song that vibrate, that synchronize your electrical system, which is your chi flow, and you feel more balanced.
So your training is Tai Chi, you still do martial arts?
I was a choreographer for many years. I got people started like Art Camacho, and he's one of my students.
Yeah.
Actually, but I have not taught for 10 years, but now I'm focusing on taking care the golden age, so-called. And I don't believe in the retire meaning tie twice, tie and tie again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't believe in success or fail. There's no such thing. And because if you worry about fail, you never started. If you think you're going to be successful, what if you fail? So why go there at all? Forget about it. Just do what you love to do and share with the people you love.
Yeah.
That's it.
You've led such a sort of distinguished and celebrated life. You're the king of kata, after all. So I'm just wondering, when you were putting the book together, what is some of your proudest achievements, would you say, Eric?
Well, first of all, when I was younger, I competed at a tournament, and all I focused on was winning. Okay.
Yeah.
Before that, I want to, if you learn how to hit, you have to learn how to heal. So healing is a big part of me, because my father was an herbalist and he owned two herb shops. We got herbalists, work there, live there, sleep there, and die there, some of them.
Right,
and,
right.
And then so the family, what is my biggest achievement? I would say everything. And I've been lucky. I don't have any health issue so far, I believe. And I was very lucky. And I have no pain in my body even today. And many of my friends, they got arthritis, they got this problem, that problem. And I can't do anything. All I can do is, if they have issue, I want to find out the other opinion. I would say, refer them to this person, that person. And so I believe in same thing like martial art. All style have something to offer.
Yeah.
Some people favorite in their own style, let's say Shotokan or Kung Fu or Tai Chi, that's okay, just like music. And we treasure some of the music like Beethoven, right?
Mm.
From a long time ago, Leonardo da Vinci, his painting is beautiful. So now I'm interested, because there's so many things that I didn't know. So being what they call martial artist or grandmaster title, all these things, is only thing is we put our mind and soul into a proof, but we really, in reality, we don't know anything that other than that.
Yeah.
Unless, so we are way better with everything we don't know.
Just looking back, the industry, particularly the film and television industry that you were working in, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, particularly around accurate representation, particularly, you know, Asian actors working in Hollywood, very different ballgame when you were working compared to nowadays. At least that's what it seems. Do you think that there's more opportunities? It's a better, Hollywood is better now, do we think?
Well, it's different. My good friend, James Hong, you know him?
I do know James Hong, yes.
Yeah, he is just got his star in Hollywood. And when he first started, 1955, his first movie was with Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, yeah.
Black and white.
Incredible.
And we did something called Big Trouble in Little China. What little that people know, I did 150 movies, but only 30-something on IMDb. Yeah. And I'm more behind the camera than in front of the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have, if you like to create things, hang on for a second. Cindy, can you get my jacket? Okay. When I first started the business in 1976, and the Hollywood did not have the skill they have now in those days. So the cinnamon photographer asked me, how do you film this? I say, if you like to have a good camera angle, get a Japanese cartoon book. You got all kinds of camera angle.
Mm. Yeah.
That's how it started. Let me tell you an interesting story. May I?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. There's a person, he was a big action movie star in 1950s. And I met him in person. He's my friend's father. His name's Lam Gao. I speak Cantonese. And then in those days, camera were very heavy and black and white, big camera. So one camera on the third floor and one camera on the ground floor. But he had to fight on the edge of the brick. And what happened, and this way in down here, they can film all the way up there, saw him fight. And then in those days, camera were weighed thousands of pounds, not like a cell phone or the Blackmagic or 4K camera. So it's so heavy, they don't move the camera. They move the actor. Actor have to move.
Yeah.
So what happened when he was fighting on the edge, the brick broke. So he fell all the way from third floor, but his basic was so strong, he landed on a horse stance. He never got hurt.
Wow. That training kicked in.
Yeah. So those are training, but that's why some other people are trying to do the same thing. You cannot replace the person who played the lead, but you can have stuntman, a stunt double, to do if the stuntman got hurt, they can replace him with another one, but you cannot replace the real person that he's contracted to play the lead in a movie. That's what happened.
Did you always want to be in movies then, Eric, even when you were a kid?
Not really when I was a kid. When I was, my father is a martial artist too. He studied the style called Choi Lei Fat. And when I was 2 years old, I watched him train, work out. I did not train that time. And in China, in the courtyard, and then my grandmother took me to see the Cantonese opera. We have the stage Kung Fu. And that's my first exposure when I was 2 years old. So it's like American look at Mickey Mouse, Coca-Cola, Elvis Presley, and football. And we grew up with it, basically.
Yeah. It was part of the culture. And we're talking about China. This is communist revolution time, isn't it? You're born in just on the cusp of that, late 40s.
Well,
I was born after
the war, but I went to Hong Kong, which is British. I saw Queen Elizabeth II when she was in her late 30s. I was a little boy in Hong Kong. She was riding with a whole lot of people in parade in front of our shop. And I was pretty young. She just waving at everybody. And I remember those things, and I have good memory.
Wow.
When I was in Hong Kong, I saw a lot of black and white kung fu movie. Second of, he played the bad guy in Enter the Dragon. He always played the bad guy in Hong Kong movie. And he was in Ching Wu Association in Hong Kong. And the guy, Quan Da Ping, and I met him in America. He was over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And
he always lived played a long the life. Bad guy.
Yeah. His style was Hong Ga. because I really appreciate people do different styles. Some people have different flavors. Some people really want to be, oh, my style is better than yours. For me, all style have something to offer.
Yeah.
As you know, when you teach somebody, when you're a teacher, you're basically teaching yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That is
but
cool.
You grew up in the 50s in Hong Kong then. You were going to watch these black and white Wong Fei Hung movies. That's what captured your imagination, your passion with Kung Fu. Is that right?
Actually, 50s, not 60s. 60, all right. 62, I came to America.
Wow, 62. Gosh.
Yeah, I was born in 1946, July 30th.
What was growing up in Hong Kong like at that time? It's unrecognizable to what it is today.
Well, when I came from Fuchong Village in China, and then I went to Hong Kong, where I was born in the village, it was 125 people around there. When I went to Hong Kong, I said, wow, this village is quite big. Without knowing, this is not a village. This is a city that called Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So, when I went to Hong Kong, I saw all these black and white movies. I was infatuated, was really like it so much. And I saw John Wing. My uncle happened to own a theater in Hong Kong, and I went to see John Wing in color, and always fascinated by American cowboys. But I'm always interested in movie in Hong Kong because they were so much power. They so aesthetic, and I just want to be like them. But when I came to America, somebody shot me right on the head, right in the neck, and that's what I took martial arts seriously.
Yeah.
So, and then I didn't become go to tournament before that. I study one, two, self-defense. I have no problem with anybody. I'm like more like an ambassador. I like all style. If somebody knocked me out by 2x4, what style is that? I call Home Depot.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. All style have something to offer.
You bastard. I didn't know who you were.
Why did your family move to America?
My grandfather was born in 1894. He came, so he witnessed the Great Depression, World War One, World War Two, and everything. He came first, and he worked very hard. He owns a poultry called Lun Key. That was on Oakland, Webster Street. And then my grandmother came later. I came because being a male is in old days a breadwinner in Chinese tradition. So I came, but I actually live in Central America for a few months before I came here. Why? Because in Hong Kong they only issue so many visa, and then when I went to Central America, I was only there for 6 months, and then I got my visa to come to America in 6 months.
Yeah. Did your family move from China originally then because of the revolution in China? Was that why your family moved from China?
Well, my father was in the World War II. He escaped from the I'm not political, but he was escaped from the Japanese. And I was born after the war, so I left long time ago. And does it answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And you see the movie Ip Man?
Yeah.
Donnie Yen, who portrayed a part Ip Man. I did not study with Ip Man, but I studied with a little bit with Wong Sung Leung, which is a private instructor for Bruce Lee.
That's right.
But Bruce Lee, when he was doing Game of Death, and then he asked Wong Sung Leung to be in his movie, but he said, what do you have to do? And I can openly say it. And Bruce Lee was in Oakland. He came to my school and watched us train. I was very little by then. and was very young. And, you know, he's really good martial artist, and he got a lot of penetration very fast and everything. And, but before he formed JKD and he was doing Zhong Fan Kung Fu, I still had the poster from James Lee and him long time ago. And I was in Oakland, is Zhong Fan Kung Fu then, before JKD.
You would have been in Hong Kong when Bruce Lee was in Hong Kong, and you would have then been in California when Bruce Lee was in California. Is that right?
Yeah, we have similar background because he actually part German, and I'm Lee, and he's Lee, and I know Robert Lee, and Shannon and Brandon was a little baby, and Bruce Lee mom and I, when she was alive, we hang out, you know, together, and then we go to lunch and dinner, whatever. And that's a long time ago, back to 70s and 60s, you know. Yeah. And I really lucky to witness the changes, the martial art in this country as well the world. I happened to meet Bob Ward's good friend of mine, John Saxon, Jim Kelly, they all gone now. Sakin is gone also.
Yeah.
Bolo is still here.
Bolo's still here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his real name is Yang Si.
Yang
Si. Bolo is just a stage
name. Do you speak to him?
He live in different part of town. I should get together somebody. The people who's gone lately, Harry Mark, Leo Fong, Jean LaBelle, and yeah, John Nitibadet, and they all gone, so they all friends. So I'm going to, we actually did a tribute to a few people. You go to GM Eric Lee on YouTube, you can see the tribute. Bob Ward got the most response because he's very popular for the Enter the Dragon. He was the O'Hara, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was on this podcast. I managed to speak to him a couple of years ago.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, that was
it's
great to
funny,
chat to him.
Not too long ago, Leo Fong, me, and Bob Ward, we were sitting together and talk. And then Bob Ward asked Leo Fong, Mr. Fong, Sifu Fong, he said, do you anticipate you live this long? And then he said, no, he was 92 when he died. Yeah. Bob Ward was 82. And we were sitting down together in his house. And then he was going to do a movie sequel to Into the Dragon, but we didn't get the right, so he was going to do a film called Into the Phoenix instead of Into the Dragon.
Nice. Well, that would have been nice.
Yeah, it didn't happen because he died. You know, as you know, in life, nothing permanent except changes and change. So they are, I don't feel sad because everything that we experience in life, I appreciate what I experienced, whether you think it's negative or positive, but they are still, when Bob Ward, all the people that's gone before us, they gave the life and experience and interact with our life. So I preserve that experience. So they're not gone. So we should not feel sad because they're in different form and we're going to join them later anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, well said. Well said, Eric.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, don't be tricked by him. He's got iron feet.
When you started competing in the early 70s, my understanding is the states back then really did not know what even Kung Fu was. Because this would have been before Bruce Lee, before the TV show even, Kung Fu. So what was the feedback like when you started on the circuit?
Well, let me tell you, interesting, because in those days, most people, when you go to a tournament, everybody is very competitive and nobody want to lose, no matter what style, whether hard style, soft style, whatever, and nobody want to lose. I'm very good friend with Mr. Ed Parker. He was Elvis Presley's instructor. Chuck Norris compete at the tournament. Bruce Lee did a demonstration, 64 and 67. And, you know, I didn't enter that tournament then until later on, a couple years later. And then when I first entered the tournament, yes, I was one of the very few guy wear pajama. They call me, why are you wearing a pajama? I say, no, that's my uniform. He said, no, that's pajama to me. I say, okay, whatever. And it doesn't matter what they call. I just going to try to go to that tournament. It's called IKC, International Karate Championship. That was in Long Beach Arena. And then where Joe Luce was fighting, I know Joe, Benny Kiedis, and all these people,
yeah.
Cynthia Rafa, they're all friends, you know, no problem. When I was very young, and they were wearing a white uniform, I was wearing a black uniform, and I just didn't want to lose, you know, that's all. And so, because they say, oh, you do this thing really soft, and I decided to put a lot of power. And I study people, how do I get the most charisma? How do I get most power? How do I get most showmanship? So I mellow myself, make friend with the competitor, the judge, and then the audience. Instead, I want to put on a good show for them so I don't get stage fright. And if you are competing at a tournament, if you look at somebody, oh, he got better kick than me, you just lost to him because yeah. The way you think. Now, form and weapon, those things are just, for me, it's exercise and it's an art. And what my real thing is self-defense first, and later on, form and weapon becomes entertainment. And then nowadays, I'm not competing with anybody. I just want to share the experience to the other people, who the younger generation, and that is coming.
You were a trendsetter in many ways, Eric, because of what you were doing with the forms and adding that showmanship and that entertainment value. Did that just naturally evolve over time then, Eric?
Yeah, in those days, 60s and 70s, I was very competitive, but now I'm not. And after all, you write book, you did so many movies, and you, in reality, in old days, I want to be somebody. So when you get older like me, you have to become somebody to be nobody. And I feel good because I get along with everybody.
Yeah,
nobody. So some people think I'm somebody, and that's the way they do. But in reality, I'm just the same like everybody else. My book is about one thing. This one here.
Yeah.
My book is basically to be inspired before I expire. That's my statement.
Yeah. No.
So you were the ones who were drug smuggling for the master.
Eric, can I ask you about the movies as well? Do you remember the very first film set that you appeared on?
Some of the movie I just voice over. Some of the movie I do stunts. Some of the movie I play the lead. Master Demon, Ninja Buster, Weapons of Death. You might not heard those pictures.
No, I've seen them. Yeah.
That was the movie I played the lead. But, you know, it's an experience, you know, because I was so young when I was doing those in the beginning of the movie. But the big movie, I got a smaller part, but the smaller movie, I got bigger part.
Yeah. So Weapons of Death was maybe the first. Well, let's go back even before that, because you worked with Peckinpah and James Caan, Robert Duvall, Killer Elite, 1975.
Right. That was called Killer Elite.
Sam
Peckinpah was a director, and Grandmaster Rick Alamini, he's a martial artist, and he was a choreographer. Sam Peckinpah doesn't know who's who in a martial art, but we have to show him that we can really do this. So I have to show him that how to move and do a demonstration for him before he accept. When I was a choreographer, some of the producer, they were interview people, and everybody come to the audition. They say, I'm the world champion. One of the producers come to me and say, which one is real world champion? They all say they are champion. They all say they're world champion. Which one is it? So she was all confused, holding their head, and she didn't know what to do. I say, they audition. They all try to get that part. They all say they are world champion. Is that true? Unfortunately, the show business, there's too many people who want to get in. That's not enough part for everybody.
Yeah, it's very competitive. Very
competitive. You're right.
Do you need to be a champion martial artist to make it in martial arts films? Like nowadays, Eric, you've got, Keanu Reeves isn't a martial artist, but he looks like one.
Yeah, well, Charlie's Angel, when they train 6 months and they look so great because the camera work was so great.
Yeah.
And then anybody can be on film. Nowadays, different than before, we have to film everything on film, Panavision and Moviola, everything is different. Nowadays, I would encourage people that you have a cell phone, get idea, and just film it. It doesn't have to be perfect because you're a beginner. White belt is not going to be perfect. Yeah. And then we all start somewhere. Just like martial art beginning, you learn the basic, punch is a punch. A kick is a kick. You don't know why you're doing it, but after a while, you become more familiar. You become technically inclined. You know the fundamental. You become more creative, and then you become innovator. So I encourage all the folks out there that listening to this, use your cell phone, get an idea, just film it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. You want to get great experience out of it. I can guarantee one thing. I cannot guarantee you're going to look like the perfect movie, but we got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you built up, didn't you? Because you worked in stunts and you worked a lot as a fight choreographer. You worked behind the scenes, but you were in front of the camera as well, weren't you? And in quite a few roles.
I like everything. I was a teacher for stunt fighting at UCLA, and I am very familiar with the camera angle because I learned through the years, just like everything else, practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Did you ever work with people like, a Chuck Norris or a Cynthia Rothrock? And did you ever look at them and think, well, I want to be the lead in there. I want to be doing that.
Let's say this book here, we are going to make a film out of it, and I'm not in it. It doesn't matter, leading man or not leading man. I'm get to the point, I can be totally behind the camera. I feel okay with it.
Can I talk to you about Big Trouble in Little China? That's a huge movie that's in your filmography. You were working with Al Leong, James Hong, James Liu, Jeff Imada. Conan Lee, Victor Wong's in it. Like, there's all these great Asian American actors in that movie. What was it like?
I want to tell you something. James Hong is a friend of mine. I can do his voice for you right now.
Yes, please. I would love to hear that.
Bruce, this is James Hong. I still want a girl with a green eye.
Very good.
And then every time I see James and he poked me with his elbow, I say, Eric, do me. I say, James, you're giving my rib a bruise. It's almost like a bruise spirit, He said, no, forget about that. Just do me. I said, what do you want me to do? Do my voice. I said, okay, James. Susie, I won't be home for dinner because I have another engagement.
Very good.
Do I sound like him?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
so I call his wife up, Susan, and then she said, pretty close, but no cigar.
In the movie, you are part of the gang, aren't you? You're Lo Pan's group. You have that big fight scene in the alleyway, so you would have been working directly with James. But obviously, Kurt Russell is in there as well.
Kurt Russell, nice guy.
Yeah.
And Goldie Hawn came to visit him. They were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time. He's a nice guy. I like comedy. James liked comedy, too. Bolo, he liked comedy, but except he got the face that really menace, you know, really bad guy. He's hard. Maybe he can do a comedy. I don't know.
Very hard for him to do a comedy, I'd imagine. I would love to see that.
Not everybody can do comedy because some people are serious, like Jackie Chan, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock. I can do comedy.
Do you prefer watching comedies to action films?
I like everything. I like comedy the first, mostly.
Yeah.
And I like serious drama also. I like romantic. I like thrillers. Some people like action, like Tom Cruise. He like action, so he does a lot of action movies. Stallone, he like action. And action people don't like too much dialogues because they want action.
Yeah.
Like in Hong Kong, they spend a lot of time on action. Over here in Hollywood in the old days, they spend a lot of time on acting. So the action part, they say, one take, that's it. Go home. Okay. Yeah. And the acting part. But this is an action movie. They have to focus on both. Of course, good actor and good action, good script. It's perfect.
You see, I just want to kill you like dogs.
Can I ask you about Showdown in Little Tokyo as well? I know you worked on that film. I think
only a little bit. Not too much.
Yeah. Where are you in that movie then? What role?
I got killed by a shotgun or something like that.
Really? From Dolph?
Yeah. Now today. Because most people look at the TV, television, or movie, they say, oh, this person is a big star, yes. And it's okay, but when you get to the point where you become everybody's equal, and in reality, if somebody's so-called superstar, a big star in a movie, but when he got sick, he have to take medicine. When he get tired, he need to rest. And when he hungry, he got to eat. So just like me and you, that's no different, except the title is called Important Person, Movie Star, whatever. In reality, it's an illusion, okay? Yeah. There's no such thing as Terminator, Teenage Mutant Ninja, Rocky, and all that. No disrespect, but people believe it in so deeply, they think that's a real thing, but it's man-made.
So you've never been starstruck because you've met so many and you've worked with so many famous, you know, A-list movie stars. There isn't one actor that you've worked with that you've been a bit starstruck?
I myself have to say I surpassed the image want to be this and that because we got over with that. We, like I told you earlier, you have to be somebody to be nobody. And I feel everybody is the same, but nobody too big for me and nobody too small.
The first time I think I ever saw you in a movie would have been probably Ring of Fire. Don Wilson. Yeah. And I had Ring of Fire 1 and 2 on VHS. This would have been the early 90s. And it was always, and then you kept cropping it because I was that was my sort of era, I suppose, that those 90s martial arts films. And you were always cropping up in them. And it was always great,
was just a comedian.
Great to see you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was very much into the kung fu movies, and seeing you on screen was always a sign that, oh, Eric Lee's in this. So there's going to be some good kung fu in this one, you know?
I'm glad you like it, and you know, some people will say, oh, that's not an A movie. It doesn't make any difference. Just do what you like to do. And then, yeah, of course, you can get A movie. It's fine, but you can book B movie. So I really encourage any movie is better. If you have a dream, follow it. Just do it and take action. And there's an old saying, a turtle never goes anywhere unless he stick his neck out.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm just interested, out of that group, though, so Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Jeff Wingcott, Billy Blanks, Daniel Bernhardt, you worked with a lot of these guys who were big stars in that realm, that straight to video.
Yeah, they're all friends.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Billy and I supposed to get together, Billy Blank, and we did a movie called Talent of the Ego.
Yeah.
James, that was a long time ago. And Billy, you know, he's a very humble guy, nice guy, Danny Santo. And he just want to learn and teach. That's all. He doesn't care about, you know, he's not the kind of guy like to fight, you know. He's just nice, you know. Jackie Chan, because you can hear that I have accent. And I did some looping for him because the recording was not so good. So I did some song. I know Jackie.
Yeah, myself. Jack. So I've seen a photo of you and Jackie, but Jackie looks pretty young. That must have been taken in like the 80s, maybe early 80s.
Yeah, right? 80s. 80s. Yeah.
How do you
One
know
of
him?
My student, Lars Fitch, and his manager, Willie Chan, that time, they drink and party and smoke cigarette. Right. I don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jackie. And that's how I met him. I went to the movie set, and I never really tried to rub elbow with the people that are already successful. And, you know, everybody's the same. And but I'm glad. Sometimes you are so big, you cannot go anyplace. Like Elvis Presley, he cannot walk down the street by himself.
Yeah.
So it's Jackie Chan and Chuck Norris, and they need bodyguards, you know.
Yeah.
Jackie is very friendly. He hires somebody to give gift to everybody. He will take picture for everybody and give the gift to everybody, because he know people, their friend meaning a lot to him, friends meaning a lot to him. He know exactly who want to be in his film, and he understand that. And I understand that, but it doesn't really matter. That was so long ago. And I wish everybody success.
Just quickly on those movies you were making in the 90s, and I know the budgets were quite low, but that obviously means that they were shooting them very quickly. Did you get frustrated? Because on a lot of those, you were the fight choreographer. And as you said earlier, it's always the action that suffers, isn't it? Because you can't spend very long training the actors or getting the choreography done. You've got to turn the scenes around very quickly. Did you ever get frustrated at all, Eric, when you were on those sets?
No, I don't. If you have a lower budget movie, if you're late, you're already over the budget. So nowadays it's a lot quicker and easier than before, because if you don't like what you do, and you just do again. But in film, you have to edit together with a white glove, and then make sure you don't have fingerprint on it. And the Moviola, the editing machine, is like quite a bit of money, $500,000.
Yeah.
And then most people don't buy it. They just rent it.
It was an interesting time, wasn't it, in Hollywood, that you had a lot of leading stars that were these sort of white men, basically, doing a lot of martial arts and taking the lead in these martial arts films. But a lot of the Asian actors or even the kung fu performers were relegated to quite small roles, or they were the villains. They were always the bad guys in these movies, weren't they, Eric?
Yeah, Pigtail and Working on a Railroad.
Yeah,
a
very stereotyped.
Yeah, I understand that. But we pass now. If this is Asian part, Asian will play. If this is recall for black folks, they have to have a black man to do that. If this is so, in the old days, a lot of Caucasian portray Asian, they make the eye look like Asian, But they changed that now. Yeah. So it's quite different than old days.
Do you know where Xiong Qingwei has gone? You better tell me.
I don't know.
So you haven't fully retired from movies then? You could still work on a movie?
Of course.
Yeah.
All the things I've been doing and Honggao, all the form and things, it might be obsolete. You know, maybe obsolete. Maybe some people will preserve the purity of the original. I don't know for sure, because 100 years from now, I'm not going to be here.
Do you think that's true then? Because the popularity of Kung Fu, there is not as many people training in Kung Fu anymore?
More people, I understand that more people are doing Tai Chi than Kung Fu in China.
Right, right.
So feeling for healing and everything that we experience, and we should be therapeutic for us and for the other people as well. If you're washing dishes, you take slowly, and then washing dishes. About 10 years ago, my friend washing dishes, and only few, he said, you take a long time. I say, why are you doing so slow? He said, oh, it's therapy. He said, it's therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything we do should be therapy. Right now, when I talk to you, I'm happy that I can share some of my little experience to some of your viewer or listener. And it's just my point of view. It doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody listening. We're the same. Matter of fact, whoever listening, I can learn something from them. And I told my black belt, and I have 40 of them, and I said, if you learn something new that I'm interested, I tell you what, I become your student instead of your sifu.
That's nice.
I'm like that, you know.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. We are a student of anything we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And we don't know that much. Even giving life for 100 years, that's not long at all.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it goes quick as well. That's it goes very quick.
Yeah, very quick.
No regrets or anything.
No regrets. So you do what you do, enjoy what you do, and we are only camping here, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Eric, just finally, before we say goodbye, do you have any tips and advice for anyone who would like to get into the martial arts movies? I know your route into it was you were a competitive fighter. You learned so many different styles, and then you sort of worked your way through the stunt route and then fight choreography. You appeared in movies, but you landed roles in some very big Hollywood movies like Big Trouble in Little China, for instance. You know, any younger people listening to this, they want to break into movies, what would you suggest?
Oh, I can do that. The idea is just have an idea. If you don't have an idea, have somebody else's idea. And it's perhaps your own idea. And then even short film, it's okay. And use your cell phone, record it. You can edit. And you don't like it, you can do it again. And make sure, you know, don't worry about anything. If you worry about anything, you just lower your immunity. I have a little dog. You mind if I show you?
I just saw the dog. Yeah, yeah. Can I see the dog? I do like to see
a
dog.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Her name is Bella. She's seven
Bella.
Years old.
Right. She's lovely. She's how old? Yeah. Seven.
She's very therapeutic. As you know, she's a Jack Russell Terrier.
Yeah.
Jackie is female. Jack Russell is male. She follow me all the time. She think I'm a little daddy or something.
But
yeah. We look different. Also, in England, do you know Samuel Kwok?
I know Sam Kwok. Yes, I've met Sam. Yes.
He's a good friend of mine. He's in England. He comes here
is.
A lot.
Wing Chun. He's a Wing Chun expert.
Yeah, I told him, if you come to the United States that much, might as well just move here. Forget about traveling.
Now, well, I'd love to go. I haven't even been to Los Angeles, and I'd love to go around and meet. There's so many people I'd love to meet out there. Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, get it all together. Dan Rose and Cynthia, whatever, you know, doesn't matter. Benny Kiedis, they're all friends, you know, Billy Blank. And I'm going to be talking to all of them and get together. And our favorite restaurant is Golden Dragon in Chinatown. And Bruce Lee used to teach class in LA. He's gone on, he have a school, now he's a pharmacy. And now his favorite dish was ginger beef.
Really? I didn't know that. There you go. Yeah, that's a new Bruce Lee fact I didn't know.
Yeah, he's one of the restaurants he eat at is the same place I went yesterday. It's called Golden Dragon, 960 North Broadway.
Well, Eric, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Eric Lee there. What a whirlwind that was. I do hope you enjoyed that. It was great to chat to Eric. Eric was a regular fixture in my martial arts movie education, and it was always a good time seeing Eric Lee do his kung fu on screen. So a huge thank you, Eric, for taking the time to talk to me for this episode of the show. His latest book is called The Journey of an Artist. It's by Grandmaster Eric Lee. It's available to buy now wherever you get your books. I'll also put a link to that book in the description of this episode. I'll also put a link to Eric's website, that's ericlee.com, and he also has a YouTube channel, that's at Grandmaster Eric Lee 4240. That's the digits 4240. Lots of great content on there, some martial arts demos, there's interviews with Eric, there's also some of Eric's music on there, so do go and check that out. A big thank you to Eric Lee for chatting to me, and a big thank you to you, the loyal Foo follower, who has listened to this episode all the way to the very end. Thank you so much. The podcast will be going on another little break for now. I know that things have been a little bit all over the place with the release of this show, but fear not, we will return. In the meantime, thank you so much for your patience, and please do keep it locked to all the usual KFMG pod channels. That's where I'll be posting about all the latest developments about this show. Don't forget, you can always reach out to me in the meantime via the email address hello@kungfumovieguide.com. Okay, thank you all so much for your ongoing support with this show. Please do take care, stay safe, be well, keep kicking. And I will speak to you all again very soon on the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.